We are in Judges chapter number 16. This is lesson number 30 in this series. And alas, we come to the story of the Philistine woman in the Valley of Sorek that we know so well. It is probably the best known story out of the book of Judges about Samson's love. Now, if you remember, we read this verse back in chapter 16, verse 4, last week as we ended in our last lesson. We read it. It said, "After this it came about that he loved a woman in the Valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." Now, our writer tells us that sometime after Samson had killed 1,000 Philistines with the donkey's jawbone, down near Edom and Lehi, Samson made it back up to Timnah, to that Timnah area where his parents lived, into the Valley of Sorek, where he fell in love with another Philistine woman. Her name was Delilah. Now, Samson is right back where he found himself in a traumatic situation with his very first wife. Samson is right back in a relationship that breaks the law of the Lord for marital relationships for Israelite men. Now, we do not know why in the world Samson loved Philistine women instead of those women of his own tribe or even of his own nation, but he did. Samson's new love, her name was Delilah. Now, the background of the name is Delilah is very interesting. Delilah means delicate, petite, languishing, amorous. The Hebrew comes from an old Semitic root that means to hand down, to languish. So, looking at those words, we must wonder how they all fit together in a word picture, which is what Hebrew is, of Delilah's name. Here's the clue. Delilah is delicate, she is small, she is petite, which means she was languishing in size. Languishing means to lack something. Delilah lacked the physical size of other women. She was tiny, but her name also tells us that she was amorous. The word simply means that she was loving and she was sexually attractive to Samson. Now, was that her Philistine name? No, we don't know. We do not know. It was more than likely a Hebrew name that was given to her by the Israelites to this woman for the story. So, being attached to Samson, Delilah was surely a target of the Philistine leaders who wanted Samson dead. They wanted to know the source of Samson's strength. And so, they offered her, remember, get this, 1,100 pieces of silver to draw the knowledge of the source of Samson's strength out of him. Chapter 16, verse number 5. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and see where his great strength lies and how we may overpower him, that we may blind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Okay, so we have to wonder if Samson was married to Delilah or not. The scripture had never given us the answer to that question. It's never given us that answer. And be that as it may, she was in a close, intimate relationship with Samson, yet the Philistines still felt comfortable enough to go to Delilah, and they sought to bribe her to be unfaithful to Samson. One day, long in the future of this story, the Lord will say this, "The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil." And it is. There are very few people in this world who cannot be bought with money. I cannot. Money does not tempt me at all. I have been offered great sums of money in what I call confidential hush money contracts to keep me from telling anything that I know, and I have never agreed to sign one. I have been offered handfuls of fresh gold out of the ground, already melted down, pure gold, and it just turns me off. I have never agreed to accept any of it. I have made many people extremely mad at me because I could not be paid off to keep their sinful, evil deeds secret. Now, of course, the result is always the same. Because I would not accept such evil deals, those people crafted all sorts of fabricated lies and half-truths to cover up their sins. The only reason for a confidentiality agreement, which is basically a hush money contract, is to cover up known evil sin on their part. For those of us with integrity, we will not be a part of it. But it is true about money. It is always used to tempt people to do wrong. Such was the case in this passage with Delilah. Let us talk about the 1,100 pieces of silver. Each piece of silver was a shekel. Each weighed about 224 grains, which translates into about 5.12 ounces, or a half an ounce, I should say. Just a little more than a half of ounce per shekel. With 1,100 coins being offered to Delilah, it was equal to 563.2 ounces, or 35 pounds of silver. A talent of silver in the Bible weighed about 75 pounds of silver. That means that Delilah was offered about half of a talent of silver to betray Samson. But wait, we must not stop there. Remember the verse says, "The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, 'Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver.'" We do not know how many lords were in her presence. However, each lord was going to give Delilah half a talent to betray Samson. If there were two lords, she would get a full talent, or 2,200 pieces of silver. If there were four lords, she would get two talents, or 4,400 pieces of silver. The talent was the largest and the heaviest denomination of money in the Bible. We cannot determine the value of a half talent of silver because we do not have any information to compare the value to. We could convert the talent into denarius mentioned in the Bible, but the denarius coin was not going to be invented until 211 BC in the Roman Empire. We're 1,000 years before that now. We can't compare it to anything. Well, because all values are relative due to inflation through the years and centuries, all we can do is to convert to the value of a half a talent of silver in today's economy and compare it to our lifestyle, which is far better than that in the days of Samson. Today, in 2021, the value of 563.2 ounces of silver would be worth $13,195. Very few people make that amount of money in a month. The average yearly wage of a family with one working spouse today in 2021 is still only $42,000 a year. That means that a half a talent of silver would equal 4 months' wages today. I can hardly believe that anyone made a half a talent of silver in 4 months in Samson's days. Be that as it may, Delilah was going to be given half a talent of silver from each lord, not just one. She would be a wealthy woman. And as we know, it was a temptation she could not dismiss. Delilah accepted the bribe and begged for the source of conquering Samson's strength. The answer was fresh cords, Samson said. Tie me up with fresh cords. Verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. Samson said to her, if they bind me with seven fresh cords that have not been dried, then I will become weak and be like any other man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in wait in an inner room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the cords as a string of tow snaps when it touches a fire. So his strength was not discovered. Samson had not been honest with Delilah. He surely thought that it was a game of some sort. We do not know if Samson ever knew that the men were lying in wait in the other room. We just don't know. Delilah knew, but we don't know if Samson knew or not. It surely did not happen on the same night, but Delilah did not give up. She asked again. The answer was new ropes this time. Verse number 10. Then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have deceived me and told me lies. Now please, tell me how you may be bound. And he said to her, if they bind me tightly with new ropes which have not been used, then I will become weak and be like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. For the men were lying in wait in the inner room. But he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. Once again, Samson had played along with Delilah, and the new ropes did not hold him. We still do not know if Samson knew about the men who were lying in wait in the other room. Now for the third time, Delilah begged Samson for the truth. The answer was seven woven locks in verse number 13. Then Delilah said to Samson, up to now you have deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my hair with the web, and she fastened it with the pin and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pins of the loom and the web. Now you will notice that I struck a line through the last part of verse number 13 and the first part of verse 14. You will see that the marked through lines begin with a bracket and end with a bracket. Now in the New American Standard Version, the committee marked this passage this way to let us know that this information is not found in the oldest and most reliable copies of the Hebrew manuscripts to date. Such issues are rare in the Old Testament. The original writing was of the Byzantine manuscripts, originally that were used to translate the Old Testament into other languages, and they included these marked out passages. However, when the Alexandrian manuscripts, much older by 1,000 years than the Byzantine manuscripts were found, they do not contain these passages that are struck out. So we're going to ignore the marked through sections of this for this reason, because they're not in the oldest and most reliable copies of the Bible. Samson's hair woven in the web did not hold him down. This time the men were not lying in wait. I want you to notice that. At least not according to the writer's story. Finally, Delilah will use the love word to obtain the secret. Samson did tell her about his Nazarite secret. Verse number 15. Then she said to him, How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is. It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart. Thus we learn that Delilah begged him for many days for the answer, and for some reason. Delilah believed Samson this time, and she was willing to risk exposing Samson to someone who could cut his hair. She told the Philistines to come one more time. So in secret, Samson's hair was cut. Verse 18b. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his hair. This time the lords brought their money to pay her off. They also brought a barber of some sort to quickly cut Samson's hair as his head lay in Delilah's lap. Now that did not shave him bald, they just cut the seven locks. And as the three times before, once his hair was cut, Delilah taunted Samson, verse 19b. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. We must wonder why Samson would say, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. What would he be shaking himself free from? He was not bound by the cords or the rope. His hair was not woven into a web. The answer we do not know. But what we do know is that time and time again, Samson had shaken off the attempts of the Philistines through Delilah. He thought he could do it too. Now we must also understand that Samson's strength was not in his hair. It was in the Lord who was near to him. Samson did not lose his strength because his hair was gone. Samson lost his strength because he broke the one major requirement and the sign of the Nazarite vow that the Lord had put upon him from his conception. When the visual sign departed, the Lord departed. Weak, we come to the prison chains that the Philistines put on Samson along with his physical mutilation. Verse number 21. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Samson was not imprisoned in the valley of Sorek near Timnah, near his wealthy wife, if Delilah was his wife. He wasn't there. She surely was his wife in the Lord's eyes because they had been intimate. The Philistine lords took him down to Gaza, about 20 miles away, and imprisoned him there. They blinded Samson there, and they put him on a grinding wheel like a beast of burden. All the while that he was bound, he was locked up in bronze chains. The one fatal mistake the Philistines made, and they should have known better, was that they did not keep his hair shaved. Think about how fast hair grows. Of course, it greatly depends on the amount of protein in a person's diet, but for the average person in today's world, hair grows about 6 inches a year. It was probably close to that in the time of Samson. Now, we can ask some questions. Did they shave Samson bald? Probably not. If the razor had touched Samson's head while he was asleep, he would have been awakened. If the razor just cut off his 7 locks that had been never cut, it would take many years to grow that back. But if the barber just cut off about 6 inches of each lock, his hair could have returned in about a year. We do not know how long he was in prison, but it was long enough for his hair to grow back to a length that pleased the Lord. So it just so happened that when Samson's hair had regrown, it was time for a Philistine party, verse number 23. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us." As in all ancient worships, the people were required to make specific offerings to their false gods at specific times of the year. So in the passage, it tells us it was time for a great sacrifice to Dagon. Now the Philistines worshipped primarily two gods, Dagon, who was the fish god, and Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, the same name as Satan, by the way. Here, the worship is to Dagon. The god was worshipped in Gaza and also worshipped in Ashdod, according to 1 Samuel verses 5, 2 through 7. The first part of Dagon, the word Dag, D-A-G, means fish in Hebrew. You see, Dagon was his Hebrew name. The statue of Dagon had hands, a breast, and a head of a man, and the rest of his body all the way down was of a fish. Hence, hands of Dagon are mentioned in 1 Samuel verses 5, chapter 5, verse 4, but no feet are mentioned. He was the emblem of fertility and productiveness for the sea-going people, the fish god. You can find the image of this god on ancient Philistine and Phoenician coins in many museums. You can also see it on Assyrian gems in the British Museum. Now, at this great sacrifice of Dagon, the Philistines took it upon themselves to thank Dagon for the capture of Samson. They knew he had killed many Philistines. So we come now to Samson's death. At the great sacrifice to Dagon, the people decided to bring Samson out to show him to the people. The Philistines were amused at the sight of blind Samson. It was Samson's last day, but it was also a disastrous decision on the part of the Philistines. Verse number 25. It so happened that when they were in high spirits that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof, looking on while Samson was amusing them. Can you imagine the sight of this mighty blind Samson being led by a boy? That alone was enough to amuse the Philistines without any feats of strength. We do not know if Samson really did anything to amuse the Philistines except being led by this little boy. It says he did something, but we don't know, but he's being led by the little boy, and that was enough. But Samson must have known the design of this huge house. Any house that could hold 3,000 men and women on the roof had to be huge. In the construction of that day and after that day for many centuries, rooftop plazas were supported by rows and rows and rows of columns of pillars below. More than likely, the 3,000 people were on the raised level in the Dagon temple area where they could look down onto the courtyard and through the other columns like was used later when King Solomon built his palace. Once Samson could feel the columns, he could find his way to the main key columns that held the whole complex together. So once Samson found his place with his hands on the right exact two columns, he could make his last request. Verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson grasped the middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life.